Hey kids, if you have a memoir or a novel draft that you're in the process of revising, Author Accelerator has a free treat for you. Ready, Set, Revise, a 3-hour workshop that will help you evaluate your manuscript, figure out where you are in the process, and hopefully make it all less painful. The actual workshop is on Friday, July 8th from noon to 3 p.m. Pacific time, so that's 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. During the workshop, Author Accelerator book coaches, including Jenny Nash, will explain how best to think about revision, talk about the things that writers most often get wrong, and, this is so cool, put you in a small group with a coach who coaches the kind of books you write. This is a great chance to get yourself in the right headspace to finish that book up right. So, for details and to sign up, head to authoraccelerator.com/manuscript-incubator. That's authoraccelerator.com/manuscript-incubator, and of course, the link will be in the show notes. Hey, I am KJ Delatonia, and welcome to episode 2 of the #AmWriting Blueprint Challenge. As always, #AmWriting is the weekly podcast for fun, fresh, actionable writing advice for writers in all genres, fiction, any kind you can think of, nonfiction, memoir. We are the podcast that helps you get inspired and sit down and get that work done. I'm KJ Delatonia. I'm the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, as well as the novel In Her Boots, which is fresh and new as I'm recording this, so that is exciting. I'm also the author of the nonfiction book How to Be a Happier Parent and the former editor and lead writer of The Motherload at the New York Times.
And I'm Jenny Nash. I'm founder and CEO of Author Accelerator and the creator of the Blueprint Framework for Writing Better Books.
All right. So we also have with us today, I'm flailing a little on whether I want to introduce Danny first or talk about what we're going to talk about first, but I'm going to go with introducing Danny so that those of you watching YouTube on YouTube know why we have a third person here sitting with us and who she is. Our co-host today, Danny Abernathy, is an author and an Author Accelerator certified book coach. She specializes in helping novelists write the stories they need to tell. And she works primarily in fantasy, soft sci-fi, and YA. Danny merges how story works with how people work, creating books that give readers the opportunity to have more empathy for themselves and others. She is a Capricorn, INFJ, and Enneagram 4. Now you know a couple things we're probably going to talk about today. Who believes that honest stories can change the world? And I'm with you there, Danny. Yay. Hi, thanks for coming.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, listeners, my usual co-hosts, Jess and Serena, will pop in from time to time. But during this series, it's me, Jenny, and our book coach guests like Danny. We're focusing on books, obviously, specifically creating blueprints that will help you take book ideas in any genre from amorphous blob to solid plan. So whether you are still at the inspiration stage or maybe have a few chapters written, or you're sitting on a big chunk of draft that is absolute chaos and isn't going anywhere, not that I speak from experience for that. The idea of this series is to help you get things in shape and make taking that idea to the next stage easier. And if a book is not in your immediate plans, don't worry, keep listening, because we're going to have a great time talking about what goes into making a strong structure that makes a book work, which is something that as a reader, you'll find is what makes a book work for you. So it makes reading way more interesting to understand this structural stuff. And it also might spark some ideas that lead you into a book idea later down the road.
In the last episode, we talked about your why and knowing your why and starting with your why. The second step in the blueprint is to define your point. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about what's your point. And the point is loosely defined as what do you want your reader to feel or think or know or do or believe when they have finished reading your book?
So before we get into what's your point, which is, in fact, is definitely different than what's your why. But of course, they tie in because everything ties in. Before we get into that, a reminder that this 10-episode series comes with a challenge. And you can sign up for that challenge at authoraccelerator.com/amwritingblueprintchallenge. Link in the show notes, or if you're watching on YouTube, in the notes beneath the video. So if you listen to every episode and complete the weekly assignment, by the end of the series, you will have your own reward, which is a blueprint for the book that you want to write. But you can also enter into a drawing to have either me or Jenny offer a critique on your blueprint and join you for a 50-minute phone call to discuss the work. Or you'll find a way to commit yourself to get a complete blueprint and get an incredible bargain on a critique and a phone call with an Author Accelerator book coach. So all the details for that can be found at authoraccelerator.com/amwritingblueprintchallenge. But right now, we're going to talk about figuring out what your point is. So, Jenny, take it away. How's a point different from a why?
So the why is about you, the writer, and why you're doing this and why you're drawn to this and why you care. And the point is the opposite. It's about the reader. What do you want them to feel? What do you want them to know or believe or to do or to think? And at the end of the book, what are they going to say the point is? The point of this book is X for them. And getting those two things solid at the start just lays such a strong foundation for any book in any genre. And since we have Danny here, I would love to hear a little bit from you, Danny, on what do you do with a client when you're working with them on the point? How do you get them to think about this idea?
Sure. So I use the Enneagram in my coaching, which is, the Enneagram is a personality system that really explores like people's motives and fears. So it's less about kind of behaviors and traits and more about what's going on inside a person. And so we spend a lot of time kind of exploring that writer and getting into their why really deeply and exploring their backstory almost as a writer, looking for themes in their life. And then we explore their Enneagram type and look for how their type comes through in their writing. And so it's really interesting because often their point, similar types have similar points. And most of the time, you know, your point really comes from your life and it's about something that is deeply important to you, a question you've been answering, trying to answer your whole life. If you look back at your, you know, projects you've worked on throughout your life, often they have similar themes. So for example, an Enneagram type four is called the individualist, and I'm a type four. And type fours often are talking about identity and authenticity. So questions about like, how do I know who I am in the world and how do I show up most fully? An Enneagram type one is called a reformer, and they're often writing about a principle or an idea that's they've built their life around. So it might be environmentalism, it might be representation, you know, it could be anti-racism work. But it's really interesting to see how when you can identify the parts of yourself that have come up over and over again, and you know the parts of yourself that are kind of your gifts to the world, it can really help you embrace your point and to be more clear in what it is.
So how does what your point is, how does that help you reach a reader? So, you know, maybe you are focused on how do you show up as your best self in the world, or how do you change the world? How do you make the world a better place? But, you know, nobody wants to read a book that's like, you know, it's science fiction, but really it's about how to make a world a better place. But it's like in big, giant, you know, letters. That should be underneath, right? So how do we make sure that our points are not like so loud and glaring that it becomes, you know, it's not a book, it's a manifesto. A thank you. It's a manifesto. And then accidentally we end up bombing things, which, you know, it's really a bad idea. So how do you make a point part of what you're writing without being didactic?
Well, I can jump in and answer that. I think sometimes you start with something that does feel kind of manifesto-y. I often think about a billboard or a bumper sticker as your point.
Okay.
And starting there is not a terrible thing. Ending there is a terrible thing because you don't want to hit your reader over the head with the message. We've all read those books. Like I'm up on my soapbox and I'm making my point, especially in fiction where the dialogue is, you know, it sounds like thinly veiled speeches or, you know, some, your character's up on a soapbox or
Ayn Rand, anyone?
yeah, exactly.
I know she's become like this massive political thing, but a lot of us read her in the 90s. Because it, you know, and there's a speech in the middle of Atlas Shrugged that's literally like 30 pages long. That's, yeah. Don't do that. Right? That's a bad plan. It worked for her, yes.
I think
you don't want to be.
I think people who do that, they have a point that they want to make. They know their why, and they have a point that they want to make. And, you know, what Danny was speaking about was it's something that's been a thread throughout their whole life, probably, and they're burning to share this message. But books like that shut the reader out. They're a lecture. They're not an invitation. It's like coming up against some sort of a wall, or, you know, nobody likes to be talked at, whether it's in real life or in a book. But getting your point down and defining it before you start to write, or along the way as you're coming back to these blueprint questions over and over again, helps you know where you're going. It, you know, we talked in the last episode about that target. You're not going to hit the bullseye right from the very start, but just kind of knowing, what do I want somebody to come away with this book thinking or believing or knowing? Just having that in your head helps you know what you're going for, know what you're aiming for, or know, like KJ, you used that underneath, what's going to be underneath.
So to give a fictional example that comes from the work that I'm doing right now, which you can't go and read because I haven't finished it. So I talked in the last episode about how the why for my current book, at least at the moment, and this can easily evolve, has to do with my wrestling with my need for control. And and we talked about how this is also the why for Mary Laura Philpott's book, The Bomb Shelter. She's wrestling with her desire to keep all of her people safe, which of course is impossible. So then to take that into a point is to go, all right, well, what do I want people? I mean, that's my why. Like, I'm wrestling with this fact that I can't keep all the people in my world safe. What do I want my readers to take away from it? And maybe the answer is, you can't keep people safe, but you have to live in the world and love them, but it's worth loving them anyway. So yeah, like you said, that's a bumper sticker, but it goes from my why as exploring this one question to, okay, reader, this is what I got. It's not necessarily like, you know, and now I am fine if you're writing a memoir, but it's where we end up. So a lot of the times it can represent the journey that the protagonist takes in fiction or in memoir, which is from, I don't know how to do this thing, or I'm doing this thing wrong, to now I understand that it's worth loving people even though, you know, they might leave you.
And it can be challenging if you're writing from your own question, because sometimes you don't know the answer. Like, sometimes you're exploring your need for control and you don't know yet what the answer is, or if it's a question you've been asking your whole life. Sometimes that process of finding your point can feel really scary because you have to be honest and truthful. And like you said, KJ, I think the thing that really takes it from sort of like a sermon to a story is that protagonist. And when you put it into a character and you get us down to that emotional level, and that character is wrestling with the truth and wrestling with some aspect of this point of, what does it mean to to wrestle with control in my life, to love people, to let them make their own decisions. That's when it stops being a sermon and it becomes a story.
KJ, I'm curious if the point that you just defined for the book you're working on, is that connected to your sense of yourself in that Enneagram way that Danny was talking about? Like, is that a thing you've been thinking about for a long time in your life?
I love the Enneagram, and I love to play with it. I kind of go in and out of it. I actually like the Enneagram from a character point of view, just to completely flake off. But it's fun to use that Enneagram. And maybe your character shares, if you're in fiction, maybe your character shares your Enneagram. And if you're in memoir, your character absolutely shares your Enneagram. But the Enneagram often focuses on kind of what we get wrong as we go out into the world a little bit. You know, we're like, we lean too heavily on, it can often be about what you fear. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if you're, Danny mentioned Enneagram 4, and maybe if you're really about individualism and how do I present in the world, your fear might be around how people see you. And that can be, you know, you can make a great character out of, you know, in fact, one of my characters in The Chicken Sisters, that was her deal. All she could worry about was how other people saw her. And she had to come to realizing that what really mattered was what she thought of herself and, you know, what was important to her. So I like the Enneagram for that. I forget if I answered the question, but that's okay.
KJ, what is your Enneagram type?
Three, leaning on either 7 or 9, depending on you. And I happen to have just looked this up. And 7 is kind of my favorite, because 7 is really how I did tend to present myself in the world. And the thing, if you're an Enneagram person, you totally get this, but I will say that the thing about 7 that resonates with me is has to order everything on a restaurant menu. Because I do that all, like, I can't not try things. I have to try all the things. And that's 7 is, it's almost a FOMO. It's a FOMO problem, I guess. So I have that. So I can write characters that are like that really easily. But I wanted to bring us around to, so when we're talking about theme in that way, then you're like, oh, but that's fiction and memoir. How does that show up in nonfiction? And I was thinking about the book we talked about in the last episode, which was about raising houseplants to expand your, what was the title again, Jenny?
Leave Your Troubles Behind. I know, it's so good.
Yeah. No, I adore it. And everyone's going to check out this book now because we talked about it in 2 podcasts. But, you know, you might look at that and be like, well, that doesn't have a point other than water your plants as necessary. But you'd be totally wrong. It has a point, and its point is kind of inextricably linked to the memoir and the experience of the author, but then it reaches the reader. In a lot of nonfiction that is not so... So nonfiction kind of comes in lots and lots of flavors, right? And there's straight up memoir. A lot of nonfiction has a little memoir element to it, even if it's telling a different story, or some of it doesn't have any memoir element at all. And in that, I think that what you might find is that your point is around the reader becomes the character. Does that resonate with you, Jenny? Can you talk a little bit about how you find your point in a nonfiction book that doesn't have strong memoir elements?
Oh, absolutely. It's really incredible how the point matters when you're writing a nonfiction book. You'd think it's so obvious and you think it's so easy. And, you know, I'm seeing the book behind you, Jess Leahy's The Addiction Inoculation is a perfect example. You know, the point of that book, I wish she were here because she would probably be so articulate about what the point of that book is. But if I had to guess, and KJ, you can take a guess too, but I would guess that she would say the point of that book is, as a parent, you can help your child to prevent them from becoming an addictive personality. Is that...
I think she would take it even farther and say that the point is you can't change the risk that your child is at, but you can change how your child approaches that risk. Did that make any
sense?
That's
amazing.
So, and she probably started exactly where you were with We want to help parents help their children to resist addictions. Sorry, of all kinds. But as she explored, you know, for her, this is a very personal book. And regular listeners of Am Writing have heard her talk about this frequently. But it's a very personal book because she is herself in recovery for alcohol addiction and has a family history that led her to that. So she wanted to do something for people that shared that fear, because a lot of fear comes with a family history, whether you yourself are in recovery or anywhere along that train or not. But there's also a lot of fear from just living in a world where kids face a lot of temptations that can lead to addictions. And, you know, you look at your little tiny kid and you're like, I don't know how to help you with that, because I feel like some of that's just inside you. So I think what she wanted to say was, you can't change what's inside your child. You can't change your child. You can't change the genetic inheritance or who they bring to the world, but you can give them tools to help them.
Right. So that you can even just hear and how we're talking about this point, that it can start with, well, my point is, you could start with something really blunt. My point is, addiction is bad, right? That could be where you start, like billboard, bumper sticker, or, you know, whatever the thing is. And then it becomes more nuanced as you write and as you deepen and as you understand. And a lot of the best nonfiction books are, it's just like we talked about with the why, that the layers, you go deeper and deeper and deeper. But starting with that bumper sticker helps you at least define, okay, this is what I want my reader to feel or to know, you know, because in nonfiction, you're teaching them something. You want them to go. It's just like, well, KJ, you said, isn't the reader the character? And yes, the reader's going through an arc of change. That's what you want. In fiction, the characters are going through an arc of change. In memoir, the writer's going through the arc of change and bringing you into it. And in nonfiction, the reader is going through an arc of change. You want them to, and what does that mean? They start out knowing one thing and they end up knowing another. Mm-hmm. They start out believing one thing and they end up believing another. They start out having these kinds of habits and they end up having these other kind of habits.
And just to lean again on nonfiction, the learning can be like really direct, straight up learning. You know, look at Malcolm Gladwell. They start out thinking one thing about what gets people interested, hello, the tipping point, and then they learn that it's a different thing. And, you know, he doesn't take a whole big personal journey there, but there's a journey that you're on and you're excited about because he's excited about. So, you know, there are levels of this.
So I'd like to ask Danny about sci-fi, because I know you work with authors in that realm. And I would imagine that in that genre, people who are writing in that genre are imagining different futures and different worlds and different ways of living and being. They have really clear points, probably, but are they able to define in the beginning? Do you find that they're able to define them?
So, you know, sometimes they have really clear points and sometimes they don't. I think sometimes...
Well, that's kind of what I'm going to interrupt just to slightly. We talked about this a little bit in the last episode, that maybe you're like, well, no, my point is just that living on a spaceship all the way to Mars would be cool. But there's more to it than that, right? So we'd love to, how do you get people to get past, well, I just want to write about this cool thing.
Right. So especially in like sci-fi and fantasy, you know, there's so much cool stuff that sometimes the writer's just like, I want to write about elves and magic and, you know, like, so they kind of lose themselves in the world and in the things that they've loved in novels they've read, or, you know, the novels that influenced them growing up. And they don't think about, I think maybe in sci-fi and fantasy especially, it's easy to lose what is really the story, like the characters and the point and the kind of the emotional element in all these exciting things that you build. And so I find with, you know, fantasy and sci-fi writers, it's really a matter of asking them like questions like, why is this story important to you? So, you know, what's your why? And like, how do you want the reader to feel when they're done? You know, what do you want them to take away? And a lot of times it takes, I think this is why having a coach can be so great, because it takes like helping them dig down to that deeper layer that sometimes you don't know is there.
Can we take a sci-fi example? So what you just said is, you were talking about, I'm losing it a little bit, but you were talking about a story and I was imagining, you know, that the point that, or that the reason that writer is writing is they have this idea of this world, and you were saying the elves and the thing, and these cool things happen, and wouldn't it be cool if life were like that, and blah, blah, blah. And the, you said the feeling that you leave the reader with, like with sci-fi, there could be a feeling which is total despair. It could be, we are all, I don't want to say a bad word, but we're all screwed here on planet Earth, and we're all going down, and it's bad. That could be the feeling you want the reader to end up with. Or it could be, we're all screwed here and things are going down and it's bad, but there's hope in individual actions or something, right? Like it could be the same story, but how you want them to feel at the end is critical to how that book is going to live in the world, right? I mean, isn't that really, that's really what we're talking about when you have to know your point? Those are two really different books from the same material.
Exactly. And so if a writer came to me and their point was like, climate change is real, we're all going to die, or the earth is dying, I would be like, okay, so do you want to like say something else about that? Like, what should we do about that? What's our response? And that would go into their point, or they might just be like, no, we're doomed. You know, that's what I want to say, which I probably wouldn't want to read that book. It would be really stressful.
But that's their point. That's their point.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Right. Do you deal with a lot of writers who have a plot journey that they want to take their people on? So they feel like, well, yeah, they're totally on a journey. So Becky Chambers, The Small Planet, Journey to a Small. Okay,
I haven't read it.
I don't either.
Okay, so I guess I'll still just use that as an example because it's in my head. But so if you were working with her, it's called Journey to a Small Planet, but I'll look it up.
I'm gonna look
it
up in
the show notes. Yeah, but so if you're working with her, she'd be like, okay, I have this great story, and it's about this young woman, and she joins this crew of motley space travelers from different universes, and they their job is to blow a new space highway, blow a hole through the space-time continuum to create a new space highway. So they have to do that, but then they accidentally get involved in a war, and they have to get themselves out, and then they do. The end. So that's plot. Right? And you'd be like, well, yeah, that's a really interesting plot, but wait, am I right? Like, it's like, but wait, what is the person, why do we care? Why are we in there with that person? You know, what's their real story here? And I'll tell you that Becky Chambers' real story was people of all, creatures of all different kinds have everything in common and can learn to live and work together. And that's why people love this book so much. But so the question is, do you get a lot of people who come with lots of plot, but don't realize what as Jenny would say, they've got the outside, but they aren't seeing the inside. And how do you help them find their inside?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think this is true across all fiction, certainly, that sort of episodic, like this happens and then this happens and then there's aliens and then there's an explosion and mm-hmm. But there's no underlying thread. And so for me, it often comes back to, yeah, like that why, you know, who are you? What are the questions you ask? Why are you writing this story? And like, who are you writing to? Because often you're writing to yourself, you know, like a younger version mm-hmm. of yourself. And so what do you want to say to yourself? And it's really just a matter of like, it's simple and it's so not simple. You know, it's a matter of like exploring what drew you to the story. But sometimes that's really hard to find. And sometimes, yeah, you need someone else to listen to you ramble through all those things that brought you to the story and to tie those pieces together and to reflect back to you.
And then to pull it back out and say, oh, it sounds like what you're saying is all of these creatures from all of these different worlds are really the same, which is a bumper sticker. But getting to that bumper sticker is really hard. And that's why we're having this little chat, right? Because I don't know about you all, but when you've all written books too. When I wrote The Chicken Sisters, finding the darn bumper sticker took multiple drafts and then having Jenny haul it out of me. So, when we look for the answer to this question, what's your point? We're kind of looking for what's your book's bumper sticker.
Yeah. The book, by the way, is called The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers. It sounds great. It sounds great.
It's great because it reaches sci-fi and non-sci-fi readers alike, because it's very episodic and very, very much about, you know, we are all the same underneath, no matter how many arms we have.
But I do think I want to just bring the conversation around to this idea that you brought up, KJ, and that Danny is speaking about. A lot of fiction writers come with that plot idea that this cool thing is going to happen, whether it's sci-fi and elves and, you know, aliens and everything. But it could be, you know, oh, I just saw a deal announcement about a retelling of Sleeping Beauty.
That's Jasmine Guillory's. It's out.
Oh, is it out?
Oh, no. Jasmine Guillory's is Beauty and the Beast, and that one's out now and doing really well. But yeah, there's going to be a Sleeping Beauty one. It's a whole series.
Right.
Yeah.
So people come with, oh, they've got this cool, it's like the concept, the plot or the concept or the what's going to happen or this cool something. There's going to be this cool something. And what I like that you both were getting at is that the job of having somebody else in your process or a coach or a critique partner or an editor or whatever it is to hold a mirror up to you and to say, okay, that's a cool concept. That's a cool plot. And maybe we know your why. Maybe you think, you know, something about the time space continuum or something about Sleeping Beauty or, you know, whatever, we have that. But if you don't start circling around your point, the problem is that you're going to write that. And you're going to just write the plot. You're just going to write the cool things that happen. And those are books. We've all seen those books. That cool things happen and they go nowhere. And they don't hold your attention. And you can just feel them fall off a cliff. And I know from speaking to many, many, many different agents, there's probably the most common frustration from an agent's point of view is they read these query letters and they're like, this sounds amazing, right? It's like this amazing concept. And maybe the first three chapters are great because the writers worked on those endlessly, because that's what we do. And then all of a sudden it nothing. It just goes nowhere. And they're just like, why is there no there? And that's what we're trying to solve for is, if you know, if you've got that bumper sticker, at least you've got the target. At least you know, okay, you know, back to our dystopian idea. Yeah, we're all going to die and the earth is dying and that's bad. is that really what you want your readers to go away with? And there are going to be some writers that say, yeah, I want to pull the despair out of everyone. And then there's going to be people who write the book that's got the more hopeful piece. But our job as coaches is to help them just know that, or to define that or say that. And Danny, do you find that people fight that? Or like, are they like, oh, I just want to write my cool thing. Like, get out of my way.
Oh, it's so hard
coach
sometimes.
Person.
So sometimes people are so resistant to this idea of a point because they think it's like a sermon or a soapbox and you're going to be preaching at your reader. And so Carrie Savage is one of my clients. She's a author accelerator book coach, and she's been working on her novel for years. And she's been really resistant to this idea of a point because we found out, like, she herself is resistant to labels. And, you know, someone forcing her into a box. And so she felt like she was constricting her story into this thing. But we kind of reframed it. And I said, well, what if we think of it as your story telling us what it wants to be? Your story is like defining itself. And that allowed her to step into it in a new way. And she decided to call the point her book statement. You could also think of it as, you know, the message. I like to call it the heart of your novel, kind of like that emotional kernel of truth. And the way I think of it is almost like a tree trunk. And so the point is like this trunk of your story, and from it grow all those story branches, like your plot and your, yeah, but it can be really hard to pick.
Well, then that makes me want to talk about two different things, so we can go in two different directions. And the first is, sometimes you've already written your plot, and then you got to dig in there and find your point. But it's probably there. And enhancing it and bringing it out and strengthening it is often an easier task. I mean, it's both a really, really hard task, but from a number of words that you're putting on the page, it's not super hard. So that's one thing that made me think of. And the other thing that it made me think of is, I think a lot of us, especially if we feel like really smart, unique, creative individuals who resist labels, we're really terrified of writing another book, the theme of which is love conquers all. But let me, like, no reader ever, anywhere was like, no, I've read all the love conquers all books I want to read. You know, people who like a good love conquers all book, they want a couple hundred more, please, you know, in their beach bag for the summer. So we really get resistant, like you said, to that idea of labeling our story with a theme. But those themes, it comes back to what Jenny said about the agents. The lack of that heart is the problem with a lot of books. Or having it have like a really floppy heart that doesn't know, well, love kind of conquers all, but maybe not all the time, because maybe this way, I'm not really sure if love conquers. Like it's better to get that nugget, to get that core.
Well, and then what you're touching on is the thing we're going to be talking about next week when we talk about market positioning and market focus, is it's really difficult to sell a book that's all over the place. You think the writer thinks they're so unique and they're not shutting any doors, and this book covers all this ground and it's so big.
Shut the doors, people.
Right? And then the booksellers are like, I don't know where to put this. I don't know what shelf to put this on. I don't know how to talk about this with the booksellers. I don't know which podcast to put you on to talk about it. You know, I am not an advocate of writing to the market at all. I'm an advocate of understanding the market and knowing how books are bought and sold. And I'm not about, you got to pigeonhole yourself in order to sell. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, you know, that is a product that we're making that people have to find in the world. And your point, KJ, you know, give me all the love conquers all books. Like, I started reading Serena Bowen's books during the pandemic. I'm writing Regular Host and Superstar, and I found them so comforting. I think she's a brilliant writer. There's so much to learn and take away from them, but the commonality of point, you know, the outcome, the happily ever after, I just found very comforting. I really just enjoyed that, and I liked that. And readers do look for those. You do kind of know what you're going to get when you pick up a book. The cover clues you in, the title clues you in, the genre clues you in, maybe who that writer is clues you in. You're looking for something, and you want it to resonate in a certain way. You want a certain kind of experience. So, you know, we are talking about knowing what that reader's coming for, and it's impossible to pin it down. I mean, the exercise we're asking people to do in this episode is really quite impossible. But I also think there's value in trying. Danny, do you agree with that? There's value in asking the question, what's your point? Even if the writer's like, I don't know, I just got this space thing.
Right. And because if you don't know your point, like you said, Jenny, then you end up with a book that just goes everywhere and nowhere. And if you can get, well, first of all, asking the question helps you understand why you're writing, which is so important, and helps you understand, it helps you go internal, which brings so much depth to your story. But when you know your point really clearly, it shapes everything. And it's like a filter that you can use to evaluate, like, does this belong in the story? Or like, what's the most, you know, like your antagonist is going to be some sort of antithesis to your point, probably. And so it helps you tie all those threads together really tightly instead of having like scattered yarn all over the place.
Reminding me that the antagonist is the antithesis to my point. I am revising. Like, I'm on revision number 70 zillion of this thing I'm about to try to sell. And I needed that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's, again, like, you come back to this. We said this in the last episode, and we will say it in every episode. We come up with these things, and if you're in a perfect world, you try to find your point before you start writing. But in an imperfect world, which is probably the one you live in, you find it, you know, you may find it for a draft after you've started, and then you come back. And you revisit and you figure out, okay, what's my point? And is everything, as Danny said, is everything in this book, is it all a part of that same point?
I'd like to go back to the Enneagram that we started with and how that can help people with their point. And it doesn't have to be the Enneagram. It can be other personality things or just other ways of understanding yourself or the world. But I'd just like to hear a little bit more about that, about if we are going to be asking people to define their point, which we are, how can this type of framework help them think through that?
One way that I think it can help is by helping you to accept yourself. Sometimes people find their Enneagram type. They say that, like, you know, it's the right type if you kind of hate it. And because the Enneagram is really... it, like, reveals parts of yourself that you maybe don't like. But I think it can help you embrace who you actually are and the gifts you bring to the world, and, like, your superpowers. And especially in a novel, you know, we're all writing for different reasons. So a type 7 is probably going to be writing for entertainment. A type 3 might be writing, like, because they want to be a bestseller. A type 4 is probably going to be writing to explore their own... Did I get that right, KJ?
Wait, KJ, what's your number again?
A 3. She wants to be a bestseller.
With 7 rising. Like, yeah. Yeah. That nails me. It absolutely does. And yeah, I mean, would part of me prefer to be writing to share my deep literary truths? Kinda, maybe, you know, but that's just not who I am.
And you shouldn't try to be that person. Like, you know, like, so I know that as a 4, I write to try to answer my own questions that I haven't figured out, which makes it a lot harder to, like, develop the story. But by knowing that, like, that is why I'm writing, it gives me permission to not feel like I'm a failure when it gets hard. And by knowing, KJ, that you want to be a bestseller, you know, that helps you shape, like, what you write or whether you want to invest in this story idea. I don't remember the original question, Jenny.
But it's so fascinating. The question was just how this way of coaching or thinking or asking questions can help people with their point and help them begin to pin their story down. You totally answered it. So I love that. And I just love the idea that's underneath that of we have to write what we have to write, and we have to write whatever we're called to write. And it doesn't have to be, I know KJ will say this, it doesn't have to be a big giant calling with a capital C. It just can be like, I can't get this idea of these aliens out of my head, or this Sleeping Beauty myth thing out of my head. You know, it's, we have to do that. It's all we can do. And the idea that you don't have to write something so super unique and special and different that's never been done before, that's ridiculous. It's all been done before, and readers want it. And so getting the bumper sticker down is thinking about your reader, but it's also obviously helping you.
And I think it helps you to know too that you don't have to write for everyone, you know, like, not everyone's going to want to read my book where I'm, like, exploring my own deep questions through my characters. Like, it's okay. I'm not writing to those people. So it gives me more freedom to really fully embrace that point and make my novel what I want it to be.
So, listeners, we have an assignment for you, as we do every week. If you're playing along with the Am Writing Blueprint Challenge, or if you're listening and just doing this for yourself, Jenny, what can people, let's give listeners a little assignment to find the point of the novel or nonfiction book or memoir that they're working on, something that's going to help them move their project forward. What can they do?
Well, this assignment may sound very easy because all we want you to do is write down what your point is. Write down that bumper sticker, write down that billboard, just name it. And it might only be one sentence or a few words, but it probably is going to take some soul searching and some hand wringing to get to that. But we still want you to write it down and we still want you to do it. And in next episode, we're going to be giving you a little bit more meaty assignment. So this is a easy week, but still we want you to name your point.
Yeah. The nice thing about this one is that although it will take hours and hours of thinking, you can do it in the car. You can do it while you're, you can do it while you're doing whatever. And you'll probably find, at least for me, when I start thinking about this, I keep thinking about it. So, you know, lots of thinking, very few words.
I love that. Taking the time and the space to think about it. That's the real homework.
Can I offer a few questions to help readers?
Please.
Okay, so the first one is, why is this story important to you? Which is your why. You've probably already done that. Number two is, how do you want your reader to feel when they finish the book? Number three is, what message do you want them to come away with? Or if a message is too hard, what questions? And then explore those answers for themes and see if you can really like narrow down to one or two sentences.
I love this.
Thank you.
Danny, tell listeners where they can find more about you.
Sure. My website is DannyAbernathy.com. Danny is D-A-N-I. And I'm on Instagram at Danny Abernathy Author.
And all of that will be in the show notes. And as always, listeners, you can find more. You can find the Am Writing Podcast at amwritingpodcast.com. That's just a clever little, tricky link that we came up with for you. You can email us and always get straight to us at amwritingpodcast@substack.com. You can join our Facebook group to talk more about this. That one's Am Writing Podcast on Facebook, if you like to be there. You can find me on Instagram at KJDA, and you can find out more about Author Accelerator at authoraccelerator.com. And you can find Jenny Nash on Instagram at Jenny Nash Book Coach. Did I miss anything?
Probably.
Don't forget to go check out a little bit more about the series at authoraccelerator.com/AmWritingBlueprintChallenge. That'll give you the opportunity not only to possibly get your work reviewed at the end of the challenge when you're done with it, but also to get weekly emails that talk about the different assignments and the different topics. So super fun and super useful. And I think that's all. So I'm going to call it with the usual final words. Until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Hey kids, KJ here, inviting you to pre-order In Her Boots wherever you like to do that sort of thing. So my latest book, In Her Boots, is about the adult we know we are, the kid our mothers will always see, and our terrible fear that our mothers are right. But it's also about an accidental literary hoax, a family farm, and BFFs who will do anything to help each other show the world who they really are. So, if it sounds like you'll like it, you probably will. And if it's not for you, maybe it's for your mom, your sister, or your BFF. And books make great hostess gifts. Pre-orders tell booksellers that this is a book readers will want and encourage them to keep it on their shelves. So as a bonus, if you pre-order, I will happily send you a signed book plate and an adorable cowboy boot sticker to show off your city girl in the country vibe, or vice versa. So head to kjdelantonia.com for all the details. Thanks!